What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. We've got another huge soccer story today and just the right co-host to break it down.
How's that taste, Pablo? The right host right here.
Man. I mean, is this beef going to go to Twitter? Is this going to become
Twitter
beef?
I'm going to get accused of bullying, I think, pretty soon.
By the way, we're talking so much soccer. You and I should be on maybe the BBC.
How about that?
Sky Sports News.
Yeah. I've been on Sky Sports all day. What is happening to me?
It's really good.
Welcome to PTI. Tony's sleeping in again, and so I am joined once again by our great friend, Mr. Frank Isola.
Those are the hooligans, the soccer hooligans in the studio.
There's plenty of them around. Let's start for the second consecutive day with one of the huge stars in soccer, maybe the biggest, Cristiano Ronaldo. Yesterday, reports had him heading to Manchester City. But today, that deal died, and Manchester United stepped in and grabbed him up for a reported transfer fee of 25 million euro, which is about $30 million. Ronaldo rose to stardom with Manchester United in the aughts. Frank, how big a deal is his return?
And you just mentioned it, Michael. This is where he started out, really. He went, you know, from Portugal, then to Manchester United. That's where he made his mark. And I think, you know, I go back to when Kobe Bryant, there was talk about him maybe going to the Clippers. And you're thinking, for his legacy and what that would mean to the fans, at the end of the day, he went back to the Lakers. And I think for Cristiano Ronaldo to go to Man City, that's the rival of Manchester United. And remember this name, Sir Alex Ferguson. That was his manager at Manchester United. There is a statue of Sir Alex in front of the stadium, Old Trafford, and at United. He called up Ronaldo, and Ronaldo has talked about him being a father to him. I think he knew, if I'm going back to play in the Premier League, and especially if I'm going to be in Manchester, I can only play for one team, and it's Manchester United.
Frank, I was, like, giddy at the size of this news. You know, you wake up in the United States, you're already, you know, 5 or 6 hours behind, depending on where you are here. And Sky Sports has special programming. I mean, they have a special program. This, to me, is like Michael Jordan returning to the Bulls.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so unbelievably enormous in Europe. And it was interesting to just watch some of this coverage. And it started me wondering about some of the same questions they had. How much is nostalgia? And how significant a contribution can Ronaldo make at this point? But the notion of going to Manchester City was to quote one of their analysts, torture to Man U fans, where he's going to go back. Okay, how great is he? I mean, he's still a great goal scorer. He's going to play the number nine, the center forward there for Manchester United. And they need this shot in the arm because they finished no higher than second in the Premier League over the last, what, 8-9 seasons? And so it seems like just getting him has reinvigorated the franchise, which, of course, is, I mean, you can compare it to the Yankees or the Canadiens or the Celtics of Premier League action. And so people are just going crazy there at getting him back, even though he cannot be the same player possibly that he was in 2003, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 when he helped that franchise be on
and
top.
And you're right, too. It's a short-term thing. It's only 2 years. Now, when he was there, they won 3 league championships and they won a Champions League. That's what Manchester United is trying to do. You look at Kylian Mbappe, the French player who went to Real Madrid. That's for today and the next 10 years. Ronaldo going back to Manchester United, it's about this moment. Manchester City, the crosstown rival, they have won everything the past couple of years in the English Premier League.
Eclipsed and just in that country. Five.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'll tell you what, it's a big blow to them because they wanted to get Harry Kane, they wanted to get Ronaldo, and he's back with the club where he wanted to be. I'm telling you, it would have been, it's just like when Kobe thought about the Clippers, but he's a Laker. In Manchester, Ronaldo, he's not a City player. He's a United player. He's back where he belongs. Absolutely.
Such an enormous worldwide story. Yeah. Sky Sports, they were checking in with correspondents and coaches all over the globe.
It was
and
good.
It suddenly made me just say, no, I'm clicking off of preseason football for the rest of this weekend in this country, and I'm going to something that actually seems to mean something real. Real. Real games. Real competition. You know, real cultural shift.
Get your agent on the phone. I could see you over there. You'll have another gig. All right, let's move to baseball, where Max Scherzer made sure the Dodgers swept the Padres. Scherzer struck out 10 over 7 2/3 scoreless innings to lead the Dodgers to a 4-0 win. But L.A., they didn't make up any ground on the division-leading Giants, who beat the sinking Mets for their fifth straight win. Mike, which of the NL West teams are you more bullish about?
Well, I've got my own sort of biases here. But so I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to discuss this in terms of what I'm more bullish about. The San Francisco Giants seem to have magic about them, Frank. I understand that the Dodgers boldly made these moves and, you know, getting Scherzer and breaking Kornheiser's heart, you know, from the Nationals before the deadline or at the deadline. I understand that helps the Dodgers. He has been lights out. He's been everything they could have expected more, right? But, Frank, I mean, Chris Bryant has been pretty damn good for the San Francisco Giants, and he can be in the lineup, like 4 times more in a week than Scherzer is for the Dodgers. The Giants just seem to have some magic about them this season, the way they're winning these games, and the Dodgers aren't putting a real dent into them. And I think the Giants look at them and they say, we've won 3 World Series recently in the last 10 or so years. We're not scared of them, and they're not.
Well, here's my thing about the Dodgers, and this is why the wild card is unfair to a team like them. Right now, they're 81-47, 16 of 18 they won. And you talk about Max Scherzer, what he's done. He's 4-0. His ERA is about a run and a half per game. He's dominating. He has 41 strikeouts. He walked 5 batters in 29 innings.
Great.
It's an embarrassment of riches what they have. And here's the San Diego Padres. They're a lot like the way the Red Sox were in the late 90s with the Yankees, trying to beat the team, you know, where they're, you know, they can never seem to beat the team that wins the World Series and all that. And it's almost like Manny Machado, he's the, you know, David Ortiz of the Padres. Tatis is the Manny Ramirez. They can't get over that hump. If the Dodgers went
It'll
down there and told
years.
Them, you don't belong yet in
take
our
some
league.
Years.
And maybe they'll still get to the wild card. And if they do, it's one game.
Right.
The Dodgers will have the advantage because they have plenty of pitchers that they can choose from. But the Dodgers, they are so good. I give the Giants a lot of credit. Really what we need an NLCS with Giants, Dodgers. That seems
to be where we're
headed
towards. You are favoring the Dodgers at this point over the Giants. Why? The Giants have been better. It's like Tampa versus the Yankees. Tampa's been better.
I get it. But
even though the Yankees are red hot.
But it's about pitching. And their 3 starters allowed one unearned run in 19 and a third innings. In San Diego. They pitch, they hit, they know how to win.
I'm like you, Frank. I want to see it. The Padres are tomorrow's news, maybe. Tomorrow meaning like next year or 2 years.
I think you're right.
But not right now.
Nope.
Giants-Dodgers. I mean, come on. This rivalry's been good enough for 75 years. It's good enough for me now.
Yep.
College football season kicks off tomorrow. And while Nebraska and Illinois get things started at 1 p.m. Eastern Central Time, noon here. It's the late afternoon game featuring Hawaii at UCLA that may bring the most intrigue. Bruins coach Chip Kelly, 0-6 against non-conference opponents in his 3 seasons in Westwood. Is this a game, Frank, he needs to win? And could this season be make or break for him?
I definitely think it is. I love what the LA Times said. They said after, you know, 31 games, over 1,300 days, he's finally on the verge of maybe winning his first non-conference game. They're 18-point favorites against Hawaii. They have to win it. Here are their 6 losses at a conference. Twice to Cincinnati, twice to Oklahoma. All right, good teams. But then Fresno State, San Diego State. And we know what it tells you again, and this is the thing about UCLA, and you mentioned Westwood. It's about basketball there. It's so hard to build a football program. And that's why, you know, you got to give Pete Carroll a lot of credit. When he came back from the NFL, went to USC, think about what he did there. But it's still USC. It's like Nick Saban going to Alabama. You have a good base there. UCLA, it's not the same thing. Do you know that they haven't won the conference since 1998? They play their home games in the Rose Bowl. They haven't been in the Rose Bowl game since 1998.
No, so it's and they're been a also long not even run. Drawing. Yeah. They're not even drawing people to the games. They do play in the Rose Bowl.
Yep.
You know, Frank, I'm always intrigued by this because I've spent enough time in Southern California in my life professionally to be able to appreciate going to Pauley Pavilion and seeing UCLA basketball, but also remembering when Terry Donahue and then subsequently, you know, UCLA football was not just something to brush off. They had some really good teams in there, and they did get to a Rose Bowl or two. But now, I mean, Frank, it seems like they've fallen and they can't get up. They're not even competitive in some of these. That non-conference schedule, I know Cincinnati and Oklahoma have some good teams. It's not like you said Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, Ohio State, okay? So UCLA can't carry its weight anymore, and I am going to watch this game. I want to see what that team looks like. I remember when people, you know, the hype over Chip Kelly.
Boy, genius.
I don't dislike Chip Kelly at all, but the hype was so stupid. And it's people in our business who got wildly carried away with what Chip Kelly was doing in college and how it was going to change, you know, the revolutionize the NFL.
Know.
Shut up. Win a game in Westwood, and that starts out, Frank. There's gonna, you know how LA crowds are, like the Lakers. If they're down early, they get nervous, they sit on
That's
their
right.
hands. I would not be shocked to see an upset, even though, how big is that mark? What's the number
18.
On that UCLA? 16?
It's 18, Hawaii's
18.
Underdog, yeah.
Wow.
That's a game that they have to get. And I think for Chip Kelly, like you mentioned, let's remember, he did a pretty good job at Oregon, but when you're coming to a program, trying to build it up, but they do have 20 starters returning.
They have 20 starters coming back.
So he's got something to work
with. By the way, Illinois, I'm scared of them because they got Bielma now coaching them. He had done such a great job at Wisconsin. As a neighbor who hates Illinois, I'm worried about Illinois. I think Illinois can make a big step
up. And don't forget about that traditional game, UConn-Fresno State this weekend.
Yeah, I'll let you handle that, correspondent.
All right.
Let you get that one scooped. Let's take a break. But coming up, Jameis Winston is going to be the Saints starting QB. But for how long?
And the Big 12 is reportedly targeting BYU to add to the conference. Will the Cougars do it? Get Steve Young on the phone.
Can't the Cougars do better than that? Can't BYU do better than that?
It's good for basketball.
Oh, okay, but we ain't talking about basketball yet.
I'll tell you why it's good for football. It's actually going to be good.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Time to look into the future and tell you what we see. The phone lines are open. Let's take the first caller.
Hi, Frank. Hi, Mike. Do you see Jameis Winston keeping the Saints starting quarterback job?
Well, of course, this comes in the wake of the news that Sean Payton has named Jameis Winston his starter, which is like, you know, there was no suspense to that starting week one. And Winston, of course, is coming off a season where he threw 30 picks.
Yeah.
Nobody believes that Sean Payton is going to stand for that, having had Drew Brees, who took like 4.5 season to amass 30 picks. I think he'll be the starter for a reasonable length of time, and people will call for his head when he has a bad game. But I think he's the starter. He's been in that system, at least been able to practice and study it and walk through plays in it for over a year now, Frank. I think he's the starter for the foreseeable future. And that's all that crystal ball can tell you about the NFL is foreseeable future.
You know, you're talking so much soccer. I was convinced you were going to call him Hamas and not Jameis Winston. And you're right about the 30 interceptions, but here's the thing. He's now with Sean Payton, who's a very good coach, good with quarterbacks, and Taysom Hill was his competition. Taysom Hill is a good player, but for me, he's a situational player. You put
specialty
him in sometimes
guy.
On third downs. Absolutely. So you know you have that in Hill. So why would you mess with it? Give Winston a chance here to succeed. I think spending a year, you know, with that system, again, he's only 27. He's a young player. I think last year will help. Remember, he came into the playoff game against Tampa Bay and threw that touchdown pass. I think you give him a chance, see how it works, maybe for the first five, six, seven, eight games. I think Sean Payton is on to something. I think Jameis Winston all along was going to be the starting quarterback. Now, whether or not he's the starter next season, that's another story.
Yeah. Next season, December, who the hell knows that, even that crystal ball. But Hill is a specialty player. Leave him in that role. He's comfortable with it. His teammates
and he does
are comfortable
well in
with
that
it.
Role.
Opponents have to prepare for it, and they can't. Yep. And he does well in that role.
Yep.
Who Let's is see. The next caller?
Hi, Phil and Frank. Hi, Wilbon. I want to know if you see BYU joining the Big 12.
Well, you know, this comes in the wake, Frank, of The Athletic reporting that the Big 12 is seriously interested, you know, seriously discussing adding BYU to the conference. I mean, we're talking about now BYU's interest. If I'm BYU, I don't know that I have interest. I mean, be waiting for a better offer, a bigger offer. Maybe the Pac-12. You know, comes knocking on my door, and the Pac-12 is clearly still higher in the pecking order than the Big 12. Boise State is also in the mix.
Yeah.
I think they could be added out west for real, not to the Big 12. The Big 12's reeling. I don't know that I want to join the Big 12, even though, Frank, it would mean more in TV dollars for the currently independent BYU. I get that, but let's not make them sound like Notre Dame, okay?
Yeah, I get
BYU still needs some support. And they can find it and better elsewhere to me than the Big 12.
All right. The Pac-12 has already said that they're not going to expand. Now, maybe that's all negotiation.
I know they say that.
But if I'm BYU, and they have a great football tradition there. You mentioned your guy Steve Young, also Jim McMahon. They've had terrific players.
Yes,
there have been times where they've had a one-loss season or they go undefeated and nobody takes them seriously as a team that can compete for a national championship.
The Big 12 is going to change that?
Hang on, though. If they expand the playoff and they win the conference, they would be one of those 12 teams. So I think for them it makes sense. And from a basketball standpoint, why wouldn't you like it? You're going to get to play against Kansas.
Yeah, but that's a different deal. We know teams can split their alliances and allegiances now.
Yeah.
Football and basketball don't have to be in the same
place. But
they'll
get in the – you know, the playoffs are getting expanded. It gives you a chance to get in there. Because who's to say if they don't go – if they don't join a conference and if there's 12 teams, they could get in. This would guarantee them a way to get in if they win the conference.
Well, Frank, that is the biggest reason that they would go. Because we saw how much they cared about this last year.
Yeah.
And once every, it seems, 30 years or so, BYU pops up and they care about being included with the big boys in college football. All I'm saying to you is I'm not sure in their current state that the Big 12 qualifies.
How about a BYU, Boise State, add both of them to the Big 12?
Okay.
Then you got something.
I tell you what, the Pac-12 might want to step in.
I knew I would convince you. I knew it.
The phone lines are closed. Let's take one last break, but still to come. Chicago Bulls trade away someone who they thought once would be a big piece to their puzzle.
And
not lately.
And the Phillies suffer a tough blow to their playoff chances. Another team sinking.
I don't know how I feel about this trade. You know, I've wanted Markkanen out. I've wanted him out for 2 years.
Big disappointment.
Because he doesn't play.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Time to get happy, people. Happy 70th birthday, Mack Brown. Brown has done so much more with the Tar Heels than so many thought he would when he came out of retirement to coach them for a second time 3 years ago. They were 5-18 the two seasons before he arrived, 15-10 since. This year's team, featuring big-time quarterback Sam Howell, enters the season ranked 10th in the AP poll, 9th in the coaches. Brown was recently asked why he didn't stay retired, and he said, quote, "I like people. I like being nice. I like making people smile. It's fun for me, close quote, not to be confused with anything Anthony Kornheiser has ever said.
He won the BCS title. That was in 2005 with Vince Young. You know what? He's 70. He's a terrific coach. All that knowledge still in his head. Can coach pretty well.
Good for him. Good for them, too. Happy anniversary to the New York Cosmos. On this day, 43 years ago, you beat the Tampa Bay Rowdies 3-1 to win the team's second straight NASL championship. That Cosmos team featured the great, great Giorgio Chinaglia, Franz Beckenbauer, but was without Pelé, who retired shortly after winning the title the year before. Soccer Bowl 78 was played in front of nearly 75,000 fans at Giant Stadium, still a record attendance for a club championship in North America. The good old days, Frank.
Yeah, well, Michael, I used to go to those games. In fact, a year earlier when Pelé played his final game, he played half with Santos, the Brazilian team, the other half with the Cosmos. I was at that game.
Wow.
You know, we would say the games were 90 minutes long, 2 hours to get out of the parking lot of Giant Stadium after the game, though.
Those are great. Cosmos and the Diplomats, they would fill RFK. Fun. Unreal.
That awful turf.
Happy trails, Lori Marketing. Get out of town. The Bulls sent their finished forward to the Cavaliers as part of a three-team sign-in trade. The Bulls drafted Marketing 7th overall in the 2017 draft when they got rid of Jimmy Butler. And while two seasons ago, Frank, he averaged a remarkable 19-9, his play has been maddeningly inconsistent when he's out there. And now Cleveland has that to figure out the next 4 years at a cost of $67 million. In return, the Bulls get Derrick Jones Jr. Remember, he won that dunk contest or was second in it. A protected first, a 2023 second from the Blazers. I don't think it's enough. Yeah. I don't know if I like the deal.
No, I don't think it's a good deal. He's been a disappointment. Remember, he was part of that original deal with Jimmy Butler going to Minnesota. Another mistake he made. He called up my radio partner, Brian Scalabrine, and asked him if it would be okay if he wore number 24. Come on, Laurie. Just take the jersey. You have to call Brian up to ask him for permission.
He was so promising.
He never even used the jersey when he was there.
It was so promising.
I know.
And now,
don't wear 24 in Chicago.
Bryson DeChambeau shot a 60 at the BMW Championship in Caves Valley today. Missed a six-footer on 18 for 59. Everybody misses a six-footer for 59. We're running out of show. Let's go to the big finish. Reese Hoskins out for the rest of the season with an abdominal tear. Big loss for the Phils.
Say goodbye to the Phillies. 27 home runs, 71 RBIs, led the team. Chris Sale threw an immaculate inning last night and a win over the Rays. Is that significant?
More hype for the stats and information people. He stands on his own, okay? He's a hell of a pitcher for a long time. He doesn't need immaculate innings. Noah Syndergaard pitched one inning for the Mets High A team yesterday. Was that a big deal, Frank?
Yeah, he hasn't pitched since September of 2019. You know what they say in Chicago? Same thing with the Mets. Wait till next year. Phillip Rivers' high school team won the opener 49-0. You happy for him?
I feel bad for the kids who got crushed. Last one, Padres and Angels tonight. Give me a reason to watch.
I'll give you two. Tatis, Ohtani.
Good enough.
Not bad. We're out of time. Thanks for watching. I'm Frank Isola.
That's always a good reason to watch those guys. I'm Mike Wilbon. Have a great weekend, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. And now, swinging Lori Marketing right out of
Mike's going to watch soccer this weekend. La Liga, Premier League.